Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of the freeze-dry guy, and we're going to be talking about what's going on in the world and why people really should begin making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I've been at this for 48 years, and I really am firmly convinced that we're moving into a very, very difficult time here in America. I believe that we're beginning to see the breakdown of the structure of law and order. I understand that there are some counties down in Arizona, down there along the border, where the police are actually outgunned. They're asking for troops, National Guard troops, to come in and help them maintain law and order. And I think as time goes by and more people out of work and not getting their money from the government, not getting unemployment benefits, and beginning to wonder where they're going to be able to live or how they're going to have enough food to feed themselves and their family, I really do believe we're moving towards very difficult times. And so people should begin making preparations now to begin to look after themselves and their family, and yes, and their neighbors as well, if they need help. So with that as a background, Freeze Dry Guy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Appreciate it.
Why don't you sort of give us a little of the background of, course, you've been at this business for a long time, haven't you? Almost as long as I have.
9 years left. You got me beaten in 9 years.
All right. You've been selling a freeze-dry food going back then for, in the better part of, 38, 39 years, something like that?
Yes, sir. In fact, next month on the 10th of August is my 40th year.
All right, fine. Well, because I think it's very, very important to have food, and this is an excellent means of having it available. And are more and more people, do you think, beginning to make the preparations, or are most people just saying, oh, well, it could never happen here?
No, Dr. Stan, it's picking up. May was the biggest month we've ever had. June was extremely vigorous. Summertime, it oftentimes will slow down a bit, or the emphasis will go more with our backpacking line of foods, but the cans are moving as quickly as they have been ever, it seems. It seems to be ramping up continually. Had a lady call today to one of my guys, and she wanted to put together a two-year supply of food, it looked like, for 1 year for two people. And it turned out she didn't have much money to spend, so he directed her into our buying club, and people that are on, more modest means and can't do it all at once, maybe have to spread it out monthly for a period of time. I recommend people get it as quickly as they can, but if they just can't do it, get on the buying club. You set it up, and we have a menu we work out for folks, and if they sign up for it, it's just automatically kicked out every month, and we charge a card. It works very well. Our guys, all of our salespeople, are very good to work with folks. They, like I told one of them tonight, I reminded him, but I didn't have to. He knew it. Our job is to get people prepared any way we can, and if it's a simple case a month, then that so be it. Just whatever they can afford, but I think they best be getting their food in very quickly.
All right, well, I certainly agree with that. I think that people really need to begin to realize that they may be in a situation where they're not going to be able to be able to rely on the government. It may be a situation where many people are going to be told, well, if you want to get food, you're going to have to come off to our nice little camp. We have food in the camp. Just pack your bags and come along. This is pretty much what they did down there. Certainly in New Orleans, when they brought in the Blackwater, the professional mess mercenaries, and of course they had the National Guard there as well, disarming the people who needed weapons to protect themselves. But then, of course, when they forced them out of their home, is why they didn't need protection. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Freeze-Dried Guy, and right here at Radio Liberty. Okay, go right ahead.
Dr. Stan?
Yes.
Okay. And we're talking about the economy and how it is grinding down. More and more folks are being affected by it. A few months ago, we came out with our own line of dehydrated foods. Now, I primarily have specialized always in freeze-dried, but there are a number of good dehydrated items that are really budget-priced. They're very good products. They're packed properly for very long storage, and they also do complement the freeze-dry, but for people who are on a tighter budget, we can direct them into these items, and you probably got the flyer I sent you today. It's on our new dehydrated food variety pack. It's a can each of ABC soup, which you've heard me talk about that before. That's probably the best single item if somebody had a can or a case, and only that, how long, you know, they could live longer than that.
Now, what is the ABC pack?
Well, sir, the ABC soup is split peas, barley, lentils, rice, and ABC noodles, and light on the noodles. It's very high protein. It's a very solid product. The first time I tried it, a couple years ago, in fact, when we started putting feelers out to have our own packed, I was amazed at the product. I leaned down. I became more energetic. Of course, I tend to, believe it or not, I'm surrounded by a lot of food all day long, but I don't eat as well as I should, or I should say I don't eat as often as I should. But anyway, I used this product, and I was just delighted with it. The only thing I did to plus it up a little bit was to put in some of our freeze-dried meat, and not very much at that. But anyway, it has a can of that product, pinto beans, lima beans, red chili beans, and they're not particularly spicy though. Rolled oats, quick cooking, and potato dices. And we have just come out with that here over this last week or two. It's $104.95. We pay the shipping within the country. But one of our guys put together a new concept we're using. It's called Survival Bucks. You've probably seen some of the stuff we sent you. And they get, on a case of that, the dehydrated items, 20% back in survival bucks. So if somebody bought one, say one of those cases we're talking about, that would be about $21 in credit on their next order. And we're going to continue with this. We like the concept. It kind of spreads it around for folks. Anyway, additionally, we do pay the shipping. We always do. But this price will probably go up at the end of this month because this is an introductory thing. And all people have to do is call in to our website, go online to freezedryguy.com and then get your purchase, or call 866-404-3663.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course with us is the Freeze Dried Guy, and the Freeze Dried Guy does support Radio Liberty, so we've asked him to come on. He was telling about a special that they have. Apparently it's a case, and it's part of it, it's an ABC sort of a soup, and then they have, well, why don't you just list the various things. Now, is this all a soup, or is this, are these a can of beans, or is this all together in this can?
It's a good point. I'm glad you said that, because I didn't consider this. The soup, it's the ABC soup, really is a misnomer. It should be labeled as stew, because it's a heavy, dense product. It's a very nice item, makes a whole bunch of food. But like I say, it's not a soupy item. The beans and all the rest of that, they're all the individual items. It's not like a bean soup. So you can use it any way you want to use the product. But, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not here just trying to push that item, but we've had more and more people saying, do you have something a little less expensive, you know, more basic type stuff too. So we're just trying to make people aware of this.
And then you're actually doing having this dehydrated for yourself?
Yes, sir. And we're controlling the packing. It's all done to my specs. Everything we have packed is less than 2% oxygen. It's actually under 1%, but 2 is a specification, and that's a government spec for long-term storage. I would suspect easily all of these products will last 20 to 30 years, probably closer to 30. Because the freeze-dry has got a track record proven by government testing right now, and right at 34 years and counting. And I've got product that I put away in my first purchase in August of 1970. I'll still open it up, and it'll be perfect. I shouldn't say perfect. I don't know what perfect is. It tastes just like when I first opened it, and it's delicious. So these products are very, very long-lasting.
Well, now, in this new dehydrated line, do you have things like apples and certainly peaches and things like that, or is it primarily just beans and this ABC stew soup product?
Well, it's more of those type of last type of things you mentioned. We have things like grains, oats and pasta, dairy products, again, soups and stews, legumes, seeds, fruits. Well, it says fruits and vegetables. Well, okay, I guess what, tomatoes are fruit.
Right.
But we didn't want to really, for the most part, compete with our freeze-dried line, but give things, like I said, that would complement them. But again, a different way to go for someone if they have a smaller budget. And these type items would work very well, again, with some of our freeze-dried meat, and you can still cover the bases quite reasonably. The more expensive items, of course, we sell will be the straight meats, and they're, as you know, you've tried some of these. I think you tried the shrimp recently, didn't you?
No. The only thing we had was the food. You sent the chowder. We got the chowder, but had the shrimp, and that was excellent. I guess they were clams.
Oh, yes, sir.
No, I haven't tried the shrimp at all. What's the shrimp in?
Oh, goodness. I thought we sent some. I guess I'm going to have to fix that. They come in number 10 cans. They're Gulf shrimp. Now, that is a pricey item because shrimp is anyway, but they are wonderful. If someone wants to spend some extra money over the cost of our meats normally, the shrimps are amazing. You can't tell them from what they bring in from the ocean. I guarantee you, because that's what they are. You put them in lukewarm water for, say, 5 minutes and then chill them, or just put them in cold water for 20 minutes, and they're just like right out of the ocean. They've always been a showstopper. The Navy, oddly enough, they're probably the biggest buyer of that from the government side. But it is just a wonderful product, as all of them are. But the entrees, of course, that we have, and you've tried many of those, they're going to be more expensive than the individual items because you paid someone to cook them and prepare them and all. But another thing, too, Dr. Stan, anyone calls up, they do not have to be spending their money to call us. I've got counselors on call here, myself included. We love talking to people, and if somebody says, look, I've got, you know, I'm very limited, we'll work with them every way we can, because the big thing is that they do get in some food.
All right. Now, I noticed that certainly the canned goods that you have, certainly the meats and the these are the fruits and vegetables. And I looked down, and certainly for the people who are sensitive to MSG, I didn't see any of them with MSG. I know some of the small packets you have for overnight camping have MSG in them, but most of your products really don't have MSG or even a lot of sulfides, do they?
No, they don't. In fact, I believe all the any MSG in any of the pouches have been removed, because I addressed this to the company a while back. They've really gotten away from that sort of thing. Freeze-dried food doesn't actually like additives like that. It does interfere to some extent with the freeze-drying process, I'm told. If you properly, once it's freeze-dried or dehydrated, if you properly remove the oxygen to the levels that we do, you really don't, well, of course, that's a flavor enhancer, but it's also a bit of a preservative, but you just don't need those things. And so, you know, the entrees are not bland, but they still don't have a lot of seasoning in them for the most part. We figure it's best if people season them to their taste. Our meats, they don't have anything but the slightest amount of salt. I can't even taste it myself. Nothing, I don't think there's even salt added to the shrimp and our pork chops. For those who want pork chops, nothing added to those. And they're just like a fresh pork chop bought at the supermarket. Now, the pork chop does have to be cooked where everything else is cooked. But, no, they're very clean food. I think they're probably the cleanest out there of any of the, you know, home storage type foods.
All right, fine. And then, Chris, people are going to have variations. You can't eat the same thing all the time because the meats are fairly expensive, but a lot of the things like apples and peaches and other things like that, so the peas, green beans, these are far less expensive, aren't they?
Oh, much less expensive. And, you know, I had a customer one time. I may have mentioned this on your show once before. He ran a spreadsheet. He says, you know, I think actually these foods are not too far down the road. You could be breaking even on the cost because they are more expensive than what you buy at the supermarket because they've been freeze-dried or dehydrated, and packed for storage. And I said, well, you know, you may be right. Anyway, he ran some figures for me, and this was like 2 years ago, so a lot's happened to our economy since then. He claimed within 2 years back then, which would be now, he says, you'll be breaking even on your cost at the market, and after that, you're actually making money. Now, we don't ever sell the food as an, I guess we sell it as an investment in your life, but I don't sell the food to people saying, look, you're going to save money down the road, because that's not my main motivation here. It's to be prepared. But the product, like I say, will pay for itself, well, under normal circumstances, in a few years. The way it's going, gold and silver possibly won't be as valuable to many people.
Well, certainly you want to have a good supply of food and on hand. You want to have water, health supplies, but you have to have food, and that's the important thing, to lay a supply in. And I'm really pleased to hear that business has been good for you, mainly because it means that more and more people actually are out there beginning to make the preparations. We keep, like the watchman on the wall, we're here sounding and saying, don't you know something big is about to happen? And all you need to do is simply see what's happening down by the Gulf, the people down there. I mean, their economy is just totally destroyed, and they've been, you know, the fishermen, the tourist industry has been a very prosperous area, and but of course other things are going to happen. I really very much fear there are going to be increasing civil unrest in many of our cities, and heaven only knows what's going to happen when we go to war with Iran. I don't think it's a matter of if, but I think it's only a matter of when this happens, and I hope it's a very short and certainly with a war with a very few casualties, and that we don't lose a lot of our people, or a lot of the Iranian population isn't slaughtered as has happened in Iraq and tragically as is happening in Afghanistan today. But when you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. And I'm very, very concerned that this is, we are on the very verge of something much larger than we have experienced in, well, probably since the Second World War, and perhaps even larger than that. Well, anyway, of course, Ron, as far as this is concerned, the products and the regular canned products don't have MSG in them. Do you think a lot of the packet things, and these are just really small little envelopes where they're nicely sealed, and these have all sorts of pretty ready prepared things you take on a hike with you. What sort of things are in those packets?
You mean the different menus?
Yeah, what are they basically?
Oh, goodness. We've got everything. We have 17 different entrees. We've got chicken and rice, beef stew, chicken stew, lasagna, spaghetti. Every one of those I mentioned, I was just going right down the price list in my mind. They're delicious. Everything is. There's nothing that's weak. If someone likes noodles and chicken, they'll probably like ours very much. I detest noodles and chicken. I don't care if my favorite aunt made them. It's just, I think I was traumatized by them in the service many years ago, eating sea ration noodles and chicken. But everything is good. Just like that seafood chowder you had, it's wonderful. The turkey tetrazzini, which is one of my all-time favorites, unfortunately, as good as it is being dropped the end of this month. We'll have some for a while. I love that product. It's just amazing. We have a chicken, well, I mentioned chicken stew. It tastes like chicken pot pie with no crust. You know, and over the years, I mean, I've been a backpacker for 50 years now, and did a lot of it in the Army, you know, for many, many years. But I've used just about every backpacking food out there, and these are the same foods for the most part as are in the cans. They're just packed in the pouches. And by the way, in the pouch, they have a guaranteed shelf life of 7 years, and that's probably about half to one-third of what they're capable of doing. Because I've got pouches that I've had for 30, 35 years now that I packed for an expedition, and I'll open them up, and they're still fresh as a daisy.
Well, let's go ahead and get your telephone number out there and your website so people can get in touch with you.
Yes, sir. The phone number is 866-404-3663. The website is freezedryguy.com. You can email us at info@freezedryguy.com. And again, one more time, phone number 866-404-3663. And if somebody wants to call even tonight and chat for a bit, I'm going to be in my office for another hour or two. That's 530-798-4413.
All right, Vine, one more time, give the number out.
Okay, that last number I gave, where
hold
I'm
that
at,
thought right? For just a moment.
Sure.
All right, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest, is the freeze-dry guy, and we're certainly talking about the advantage of freeze-dry food because, of course, it has a long shelf life. Now, is it important, though, that it be kept cool, or can you just put this any place you want to?
You can. Well, it ought not to be stored in a hot garage or any place really hot or in an attic, but I think I may have told you the story last month or so. I had a guy at a show last year come up and he thanked me for the food he bought, $2,000 worth, 20 years ago. That was 21 years ago now. And he said he'd had it up in his attic the whole time. And I said, I think you probably ruined it. And we talked quite a while. And I was convinced he couldn't have had it up there all that time and have it still be good. And he says, I go up there and drag it down all the time and eat it. And he reassured me he had been up there the whole time. Then I asked him, I said, where do you live? And he said, Palm Springs. And I said, it's got to get 120 or 130 degrees up there. He says, oh, it gets over 140 degrees up in the attic all the time. And it was still remarkably good. Now it ought not to be stored like that. But, again, stored properly, room temperature, no one knows how long it'll last. Like I said, it's been tested for 34-plus years right now, and it's holding up beautifully, and that's government testing. I think another decade or two beyond that is probably a reasonable assumption, but again, it's not been proven.
Well, I think the important thing is really to store it in a cool place. I think that anything really does much, much better at that point.
Yes, sir.
Now, do you have seeds, things of that sort?
Seeds?
Seeds.
Yes, we do. We have a seed garden packed in number 10 cans. We're very pleased with it. We're having that, again, packed under our label. Nice product. We sold a lot of them, and everybody's very happy with them. Now, the seeds do not have as long a storage life at all because, unfortunately, years ago, they used to pack, not I, but others used to pack the seeds under nitrogen, which would kill the germination capability of the seed. So they're hermetically sealed, and the seeds, not the food, but the seed, we're figuring 4 to 5 years, which is about all the best seed purveyors in the country I've talked to tell me that you can expect. But they're well protected, and like I said, a number 10 can. But you want to date those for sure, and maybe every 5 years or so rotate them out. But definitely everybody ought to have some of those too.
Right. Of course, it's sort of fun actually to grow your own things. I grow my I'm growing cucumbers now and tomatoes, and it's just wonderful to just see them develop and see that great big long cucumber come out of this little great big old plant. And it is truly amazing as we see how God is actually able to create food simply from a very, very small little seed. It's truly miraculous as you see it develop. But of course, if you don't have the time, if you're hungry, you don't want to wait for it to grow. You'd like to have some already stored and ready to utilize.
Right.
Okay, fine. Well, let's see. Are there any other new items that you're carrying?
Well, not really, other than the dehydrates. If folks call in tomorrow or email or whatever, we'll fire them out a packet which will include our offerings of the dehydrates. Now, what we did is I thought the best of what I could get in the way of dehydrated. The dairy products, like I say, are a nice item. But basically, that's our latest new addition, I should mention this. I'm sorry. We are in the process of working everything out now. We're figuring within 30 to 45 days, we ought to have our own line, quite a good variety of gluten-free dehydrated foods. That's not true.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon or this evening is Freeze-Dried Guy, and we're talking about dehydrated and certainly freeze-dry food. Now, ordinarily at this point, we would ask for telephone numbers, but don't call. We had a catastrophe here. We lost our phone system where, fortunately, we are able to jury-rig a program a line so we can have freeze-dry guy with us, but you can't call in, hopefully by the first of the week, why everything will be fixed up. We had to put an emergency request in and get a very expensive phone system, but the last one lasted 15 years. We hope that this one we're getting will last for 15 years. Under any circumstances, why freeze-dry guy was telling us about this new line of products that, and you're actually having them dehydrated yourself rather than, are they produced here in the United States?
Yes, they are.
All right. Yeah, I think that's so vitally important because, ladies and gentlemen, you go up on the Internet and you look at, say, freeze-dried food, and I think there's probably only one or two brands produced here in America. There are probably 20 produced in China, and they're offering them on the Internet. And I'm scared to death of anything, food or things of that sort, produced over in China. So you certainly want to have things that are actually made here in the United States because we've seen some terrible disasters. And so many of the things we get here, the food, the medicines, you realize that almost all of the vitamin C you get in the United States is produced in China. Most of the honey, olive oil jelly, so much of what you get here in the United States, garlic, it all comes from the communist China, where they have no standards and, well, some people over there don't like us. But it's good to know that your products are made here in the United States.
Yes, Dr. Stan, and what I started to say, and then I backed up myself, then it went to break. This line I'm talking about of the gluten-free, they are both freeze-dried and dehydrated. Right now they're in pouches, and they're a good storage item. It's quite an extensive line. We're going to expand it and probably start canning here, but that's still down the road several months. But a lot of people are asking us for gluten-free, and I think that this will be very helpful to a lot of people.
Now, are you going to be doing the canning yourself? Are you going to have it done, or are you having it done by a professional company?
Well, everything's professionally done. We're probably going to start doing some canning right here. But again, we'll have a proper clean room all set up. I mean, it's very, I mean, you could eat off the floor.
All right, fine. Well,
that's the choice of words. But, you know, no, very clean, very professional.
Okay, fine. Well, there are a few people out there doing it, but it's really a very it's a very specialized field. It's not something the average individual can really do at all.
No.
All right, fine. Well, now, certainly, I wish we could get our opportunity for people to call in, but, of course, we can't do that at the present time. So let's go ahead and get your telephone numbers out one more time.
Yes. 800 number or 866 number is 866-404-3663. If someone wants to call in for the next hour or so, I am at 530-798-4413. I tell you, I love it when people call because I don't get to talk to probably 0.5% of the customers anymore, and I get lonesome here. So, anybody wants to chat?
I'll tell you what, you do have somebody just walked into the studio and wants to talk to you. So, go right ahead.
Hey, freeze right guy.
Yes, ma'am.
The one thing I would like to mention is that among the freeze the dehydrated foods that we have had wonderful success with them, and we've had them over 20 years at least, and open them up, use them, and they have tasted, at least the vegetables have tasted just as if they were fresh.
Excellent. Glad to hear it.
I cannot tell you. It is such a surprise to do that. And then we have actually we go up to used to go up to our cabin in northern Canada, and we would open one of these cans and use them and not use all of them, put a cover on them, and come back the next year and open that cover, use them again, and they would taste just as good as the first time we opened them. And so I cannot recommend any, you know.
Well, there's a testimony. There's my wife that's talking. Go ahead, Barbie.
Hi. You want me to carry on?
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I cannot recommend, for people who want to put food, aside in these times, to have them, I mean, they will last. I have no idea how long they will last, but I have gone up there and for 2 or 3 years used a can that has been opened, left, opened again, and used, and they taste great. It is our way of eating when we go there. We can only take so many things in that are fresh. The remainder of the things that we have to use is for a lot of vegetables. We have to use the canned, dehydrated foods, and they are wonderful. See, they will last you for a long period of time.
I'm going to have to cut you off. We'll be back in just a moment here.
God bless
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barbara, go right ahead.
Well, as I was saying, we have had these things, so many of these things stored for probably 30 years and opened them, used them, and as I said, and, you know, can't use them all in one period of time because we're only there for a short period of time. But we close them, we use them again, and they are still as good as the day we use them. And I cannot recommend, if you want to store up food for the coming times, this is the absolute best way to do it, because we don't know where, you know, what our food supply is going, what is going to happen to it. They grocery stores just don't carry the supplies that they used to have. They don't have the stock that they used to carry, and it would, you know, within 2 days their stock can be gone. So if you want to have things on supply that you need to use, that as far as vegetables are concerned, you know, peas, corn, any of these things, you need to have them on hand. And you cannot depend upon your grocery store anymore to have these things, because they will be gone in a very short period of time if something drastic happens. But I will guarantee you that we have used these products, that we have, you know, and they last a long period of time. If you have them on hand, they will keep you supplied with a food supply that will keep you going until you can. And the best thing, other thing I can do is suggest that you grow your own vegetables. But until that time, you need to have something that will keep you supplied with food. And okay. I look at my husband and I think he's telling me I have to be quiet again.
No, I don't have to. All that's an unsolicited recommendation, freeze-dried guy. So I was surprised looking up to see my wife coming in. I guess she just felt compelled to have to come and say that over the radio.
You hit a nerve, and I appreciate that, Barbie. Thank you very much.
Okay, anything else you want to say, honey, before I let you go?
No, because nobody else can call in, so at least I have the opportunity to talk. And nobody
I appreciated the unsolicited words of praise, but anyway, I certainly agree with you, and I've always been very pleased with these things. I think it's an amazing technology, and we're going to be back in just a moment with Freeze Dry Guy, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, again, is the freeze-dry guy. And would you want to go ahead and put out one more time your telephone number and, of course, your website?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Our phone number, our toll-free, is 866-404-3663. I'm in the office here still and probably will be till about 9 o'clock our time.
And you're going to give that telephone number one more time? You always give it twice.
Yes, okay. The first one was 866-404-3663. My direct line right now tonight is 530-798-4413. I say again, 530-798-4413.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, all I can just say is if you haven't made your preparations, start making your preparations. Do not put it off. I sincerely believe this, and I'm not saying this simply because Freeze-Dry Guy advertises with us. I'm saying this because I really believe we're heading into some very difficult times, and the most important things you have would be food and water and health supplies, and certainly, of course, your spiritual status at all, because this is a spiritual battle. Make sure you're on good terms with our Lord, because if things get really bad, and we've seen this happen over and over again, people fall apart. In fact, I'm preparing for a program, hopefully it's going to be on the History Channel, where I'm going to be talking about New York City, about the Statue of Liberty, about a pillar that is there on the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City. And, of course, it depicts the destruction of New York City. It was completed about 4 years before the attack on the Twin Towers, but there you can see on the pillar, the Twin Towers, they're coming down. They're collapsing. The Chrysler Building collapsing. The New York Stock Exchange is collapsing. The Statue of Liberty is sinking into the waters. It's really a rather frightening thing, as you realize. This is carved in stone there. And, of course, the significance is it was St. John who actually wrote the Revelation. And in the Revelation, they talk about Babylon the Great falling. And Babylon the Great will fall in 1 hour. And, of course, it's going to be burned. It's going to be, if you read this, it's not just mentioned one time. It's mentioned at least four times between chapters 14 and chapters 18 about the destruction of Babylon. And, of course, certainly a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, that's real Babylon, or that's Rome. And I don't believe so. I believe everything points to the fact that it is New York City. I'm simply conjecturing, I don't know, but I will tell you, as I read that and I contemplate what's going on and what they are really describing is a nuclear attack, I believe, or could very well be a nuclear attack on New York City and the complete destruction and the fact that this occult cathedral, and it is an occult cathedral, it is the center of understanding, the temple of understanding is there. There are occult ceremonies regularly held at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York. And the fact that they believe, of course, that New York is going to be destroyed. In other words, they are interpreting the book of Revelation, that there's this great destruction is coming to the city where this cathedral stands. I think it gives all of us at least a reason for pause and consideration. Fascinating subject, and we'll be talking more about that later. Well, Cindy, freeze-dry guy, you know, as we look and see what's happening, do you have any thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, Dr. Stan, yes. Just do your preps, continue to prep, and I think that everyone should have, at the end of the week, lay out your roadmap and have something measurable that you've accomplished that day or that week. And this is not a negative thing. It's not living in dark and fear. It's just like anything else. But I think that, like you, Dr. Stan, I think the time is very short. So just work at it. And a lot of people, they educate themselves constantly on what's going on, but they don't actually take care of, from a temporal standpoint, themselves and their family. Accomplish something every week that you can say, okay, we're a little further ahead, whether it's an extra pair of boots, a little extra food, those things, that you're going to need when things get a little tight. And it's happening. It's not a case of when or if. It is happening as we speak.
And we don't know when it's going to be, but we do know, even the little town where I live, the condition of lawlessness is increasing. We never used to have any murders in our area. We're having more and more murders and acts of wanton, simply violence for no real reason at all. People are simply walking along through the better parts of town. Somebody drives by and shoots them down. We've never seen this, but all across America, we're beginning to see the breakdown in the structure of society. And, of course, what you anticipate when we've taken God and prayer and morality out of our schools, and we tell people, do what you want to. You are the ultimate determinant. And once you remove a moral foundation for society, should we be surprised when society doesn't have a moral foundation? This did not happen by accident. It happened because of the people who put up a Statue of Liberty there in New York. Have a different philosophy, and it was those people who actually on the United States Supreme Court between 1941 and 1971, the same people who brought the Statue of Liberty to America, and believe me, the Statue of Liberty does not represent American liberty, but the liberty of the French Revolution and the libertine liberty where anything goes and there are no restrictions at all. There is no God. In fact, the purpose of the French Revolution was to destroy a belief in God. And that's why they killed literally thousands of priests and nuns and simply closed down the cathedrals and the churches there, seized the church property, and, of course, created a new society with no moral standards where men were truly free. And 10 years later, France was back in a dictatorship. Whereas America, where we had moral values, of course, where we maintained the structure of our churches, where we maintained the structure of morality, America survived until about 1962 when they took God and prayer out of our schools, and then in 1980 took the Ten Commandments out of our schools. And really, of course, everything has been done to destroy the faith of this generation of people. Well, certainly I want to thank you for being with us. Freeze-dry guy, do you have any parting thoughts before we let you go?
No, I think we said it all, Dr. Stan. I appreciate, again, getting to be on your show.
Well, I appreciate so much you having with us. Appreciate the support for Radio Liberty.
Right, sir. Good night.
God bless. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our message is make your preparations. Difficult times are coming. And, of course, we can talk about all sorts of things. We've got about 20 minutes, and since we can't actually have anybody calling in, why, it's going to be pretty much of a monologue. So let me simply point out some of my thoughts on what happened with the Gulf oil spill. And I will tell you that they're doing everything possible not to solve the problem down there. What do we know about the Gulf oil spill? Well, we do know that certainly a man named Mr. Mr. Peter Sutherland was the CEO of British Petroleum. He was a member of the Trilateral Commission. And Mr. Sutherland, of course, left the British Petroleum and went to work for Goldman Sachs. And Goldman Sachs sold somewhere between 43% and 45% of their extensive holdings of British Petroleum just shortly before the episode occurred there in the Gulf of Mexico. And then, of course, we know that Mr. Hayward, I think his name is Tony Hayward, he replaced Mr. Sutherland. He also sold a large block of stock in the British Petroleum before the accident occurred. We do know that there's a very large investment firm. In fact, President Obama is invested with him. He has a blind trust, but they're holding his money, and they sold their shares, a large part of their shares of British Petroleum just before this accident occurred. Is this all coincidence? It certainly could be. What can we say? We don't know. We don't have any inside information. And then, of course, there's the story of Halliburton. And Halliburton, you remember, is Dick Cheney's old company, Dick Cheney, who'd worked for the government all of his life until, of course, the Clinton administration came in 1992. And at that point, Dick Cheney went to work for Halliburton. He didn't go to work for Halliburton. He suddenly was the chief executive officer, CEO of Halliburton. Here's a man who's never held a job, never worked in a corporation, and suddenly goes in as CEO of Halliburton, where he remained for 8 years. Actually, he was asked by George Bush to head a committee to find out who was the best man in America to become the vice president. And after, of course, considering all the people in America, all the eligible candidates, Dick Cheney decided that he was the ideal candidate to become vice president. And he did. He became vice president. And, of course, Halliburton got all sorts of lust contracts from the government. And they are the ones that Kellogg Brown and Root, which is one of their subsidiaries, was given $325 million to begin building a detention camps. Oh, they're not really detention camps. They're just large military camps in case there's some sort of a national emergency. And if you don't believe this, you can certainly go up on the Internet. And I think it was $385 million. You can get this, certainly the documentation in my talk on the planned police state. And you want to get my talk on the planned police state. It's a DVD, comes with a syllabus, and all the documentation is there about, and certainly it covers Kellogg Brown and Root, a subsidiary of Halliburton, which gets $385 million to build detention camps. We'll use them for illegal immigrants. And you know how many illegal immigrants have been put in those concentration camps. Well, be that as it may, it was just a few weeks before the Gulf oil spill that Halliburton bought a company known as Boots and Coots. Boots and Coots, and I think they paid over $200 million for it, $236 million is the figure I remember. But I mean, when you're putting it out on the bottom, I might be off a million or two here or there. Under any circumstances, Boots and Coots are the people who stop oil well fires, and they, of course, cement the oil wells. And, of course, what happened was that, of course, when British Petroleum, using this oil rig, I think it was called Deep Horizon. They dropped the oil well down, and they dropped into a sort of a volcano. They dropped into an area where there was a oil pool with tremendous pressure in it. And, of course, they put in the drilling mud that holds the oil back so they can go ahead and they can drill. But they fractured a lot of the layers going all the way down. And apparently the pipe that was put down there, a 24-inch pipe, was very, very poorly placed. There was a lot of room around the outside. That was filled in with cement, but they didn't do a very good job. And then, of course, was something wrong. Ordinarily, there's a cutoff valve. There are all sorts of extensive equipment there to make sure you don't get a blowout. And the people on board the oil rig knew that there were problems, and they kept telling the problems, you know, there's a possibility of a blowout. And then Halliburton comes along, or Boots and Coots comes along, and they're going to put a cement plug there so that there cannot possibly be a blowout. And they do a poor job. And a couple of hours later, there's an explosion, and, of course, the rig catches on fire. 11 people are killed. Well, I mean, maybe all of this is just incompetence. But then, of course, to control the dispersion of the oil, why, of course, they will not allow the fishing boats to go out and lay out the booms. These are those orange-colored. They look like they're filled with air. And, of course, it's supposed to hold the oil back. And then they started spraying a dispersant. And this is a very toxic dispersant, and it's supposed to break up the oil. Well, what it does, it breaks up the oil so it doesn't float on the top of the water. It dissolves in the water, and then it washes up. It goes under the booms and gets up on the beaches. But this toxic detergent will kill fish, and it'll kill all the aquatic life there. And they have a couple of million gallons of that, and it's not simply by accident that the company that produces this very toxic dispersant that is so toxic it can't be used in Great Britain, but it's all right for British Petroleum to use it in our Gulf of Mexico. Why, British Petroleum has just bought this company a few months beforehand and has 2 million gallons of this on hand and sprays it down there. And, of course, this is a very, very toxic substance. Now, another thing about what's going on certainly is the toxic gases that are coming up, benzene, hydrogen sulfide, and methylene chloride or methyl chloride. And certainly the levels, even on shore, are fairly high. They're not high enough for an evacuation at the present time. But certainly out there around the oil rigs, it's a very high levels of benzene, which is very toxic, carcinogenic. And yet we've seen pictures, YouTube of pictures of the people out there working right close to where this oil and gas are coming up, and they're not wearing any sort of protective suits, and they ought to be wearing protective suits. Everything they have done to control the oil has been wrong. What they should have originally done, when they talked about Topkill, they had this large dome that they put down, and of course they didn't have adequate exhausting from it. What they could have done is set it down, it was very heavy, and then run some very large pipes off the top of it, and all the oil would have come to the surface and they could control it. Instead, they say, oh shucks, it doesn't work, because they had very, very small outlets, and of course, they begin to get some methylene or methane crystals, and they said, oh, it may explode. So they discontinued this, which would have been a very effective means. It was almost as if they didn't want to control the problem. And then, of course, the next thing we know, we're 76 days into this. Governments had come in and offered to help. They had ships that could suddenly take the water and filter out the oil. But, we couldn't let them do that because after they filtered the oil, there was still a little bit of oil in the water they were going to ship over the side. So rather than allow them to remove the majority of the oil, they wouldn't let them remove any of the oil because, of course, they were putting a little oil back into the water. Does that make sense? And then there were other countries that were offered to help, and they said, oh, we can't do that. It violates the Jones Act, whatever that is. And we can't have other countries going over here. If there's going to be any means of trying to clean up this tragedy, it's all got to be American people. It can't be anybody foreign. So we're not going to accept the help from foreign countries, and we're not going to let anybody go ahead and filter the oil and get it out. And now, of course, 76 days, they have something down there called the Whale, which is a large ship from Korea, and they're allowing them to do it. But why would they wait 77 days? Why would they do immeasurable harm to the Gulf unless this was done on purpose? Now, remember, British Petroleum is a trilateral-controlled corporation. The group that controls President Obama, our trilateral commission, I mean, there are only about 87 of them here, because they have counterparts over in Great Britain, the British Petroleum would belong to, but there's the little clique that really runs the world, about 300 people in the trilateral commission. If you doubt that, go to their website, trilateral.org, trilateral.org. And there is a spot where they said, send us an email, we'll send you a list of our members. And, of course, you can do that and get the membership list, or you can get what we have is called the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. So we give their membership list, and the CFR, the Bilderbergers, and the Committee of 30. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're simply having a monologue, mainly because we don't have any phone lines, so we can't get you out there in the listening audience involved. But don't you worry. Oh, we're going to have the phones working, hopefully, by the end of this week. But, of course, basically what has happened is everything has been done to block an intelligent approach to this problem. Now, this is not the first time this sort of thing has happened. There was a similar oil blowout back in 1979. It was over on the Mexican side of the Gulf of Mexico. And, of course, this went on for months. And the oil was just pouring out in the Gulf of Mexico. It went over there into the swampy area. And they simply sprayed bacteria there. And the bacteria simply ate up the oil, and within 6 weeks, why the marshes, the swamps were pristine. Why aren't we spraying the anaerobic bacteria that they had in 1979? Well, they just haven't even thought of that. And you have to understand that they're not telling us the truth about what's going down there. What you need to do would be, of course, to go ahead and drill a number of parallel wells, and to actually decompress this oil pool down below there. It's very high pressure. Seems to be a legitimate statement that one reason they're having trouble controlling this is because it's such very high pressure. But then they've had high pressure before. What you do when you have a high pressure pool of oil and you can't get it under control is you do not drill a couple of parallel wells down there and try to hit this other well down there at the very bottom and put oil or the drilling mud in there. What you do is drill a number of parallel oil wells, and then, of course, you go ahead and you actually decompress the pool, and you begin pulling oil and methane gas out of this area, and you decompress the pool. And certainly we'll be having Chris Landau as our guest here in the next night or two. He'll be spending some time with us and talking about what you should do. Chris is a geologist. He's worked on the oil rigs. And although he is certainly very liberal, he's an environmentalist, he thinks we'd be better off not drilling for oil. I think that his remarks are well worthwhile hearing, and Chris will be with us probably tomorrow. We had him on this morning. We've had him on our evening program. I think maybe we're going to be having him on an afternoon program. Anyway, Chris will be with us the next day or so, and you can hear his description of what needs to be done. But let me simply point out, ladies and gentlemen, that the Obama administration and British Petroleum, both controlled by the Trilateral Commission, are not doing anything logical to bring this under control. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us. As we reach out across America, 5 hours every day trying to educate people, and with our network of over 60 outlets, we do have an input on the thought of people across America. Now, this is an expensive proposition, and then we've had a real catastrophe. We're going to have to replace one of our major computers, and then, of course, on top of that, why, just today, our telephone system went out, and we're going to have to get a very expensive telephone system. We had to order it post-haste. It'll be here on Friday so we can continue taking calls. But if you are in a position to help, I'll tell you what, we could really use your help at this time, because, of course, this is a very expensive undertaking. And yet, of course, we want to keep radio bringing liberty, bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you'd like to help us, our number is 1-800-544-8927. And if you're not in a position to help, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this afternoon we did a fascinating interview with Barbara Lowe Fisher from the National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org. That's NVIC.org, National Vaccine Information Center. And if you want to really know what's going on, you need to get her material. And basically, they're destroying the lives of our children with the vaccines, and they know what they're doing. Barbara's written a new book. We're going to be carrying this. But basically, she goes into the background of what they have found, comparing children who have taken vaccinations and those who have not, as far as asthma. Today, 1 in 9 children in the United States has asthma. But if you compare the children who've been vaccinated with those who've not been vaccinated, the incidence is 10 to 12 times increase in the incidence of asthma in the children who've been vaccinated. Why? Because the function of vaccines is to mobilize the immune system, but only partially. And there are two parts of the immune system. One is the cellular, one's the humoral part of it. And then the third segment of the immune response is to turn the whole thing off. And when you alter this immune response, why, in many instances, it doesn't turn off and you get permanent immune response and chronic inflammation. And this is why these children have asthma. This is why these children have 8 to 10 times as many major allergies as normal children. They're no longer normal because we've violated God's law and created an artificial immunity, which in many instances is not an artificial immunity. Not only that, but we poisoned the children with mercury and aluminum. Now they've taken the mercury out of the childhood vaccines, except, of course, for diphtheria and tetanus, and, of course, for the influenza vaccine. So basically what they did is they took the mercury out of the childhood vaccines, but they left it in the vaccines given to children, and suddenly they mandated that every child, starting at 6 months of age, get a shot, perhaps even two shots of the vaccine. In fact, with the H1N1, they wanted two shots of H1N1 and two shots of the seasonal flu vaccine for every child 6 weeks apart. In other words, they're going to get four shots of containing mercury, between 50 and 100 times the maximum amount of mercury that is approved by the EPA. Why would you do something like that? Well, people say it's incompetence. I don't think so for 1 minute. I think we're dealing with organized evil. I think we're dealing with evil people who want to destroy this nation. And when you understand that, it all would make sense. Otherwise, you've got to assume these people are just bumbling idiots, or they're just so wedded to this idea of vaccine they don't care how much damage they do. You really need, of course, to listen to that interview with Barbara Lowe Fisher, and of course you need to get the DVD Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda. It's a DVD, and Vaccines and Brain Development, those two, Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda, and Vaccines and Brain Development. They're both available from Radio Liberty. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget our October 17th conference, because Dr. Abe will be there. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection. From the